Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
There can only be one winner. And that distinction goes to the Georgia Bulldogs today, guys.
Darn right it does.
Congratulations going out to Kirby Smart, his staff, all the support staff, all 50 members of the support staff. I'm being serious. Everybody involved with getting this done.
It takes a village to build a football team, Carl.
It does. And, you know, Mike, it's not how you start. It's how you finish, right? They started this back in December with the early signing period. As we go on the sidelines with the dogs each and every day, brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBoxElectrical.com, guys, 770-901-2500. They congratulate Georgia on their number one recruiting class. Give them a buzz. 770-901-2500.
So if you're just joining us, today is National Signing Day. This used to be, and I say that I'm not taking anything away from it because you see, it's still a big day. You have a lot of kids that are signing today to go to their prospective schools, and it's changing the dynamics of these recruiting classes. And for Georgia, when they signed basically one of the top corners in the country, it allowed them to have the numbers, how these, you know, different agencies look at this, Mike. Mm-hmm. It depends on who you go with, 24/7, ESPN, it doesn't matter. Here's the one thing I know. Every media outlet that I'm looking at, it's got Georgia, Georgia, Georgia.
Yeah, so whether it's Rivals or Espen or whoever you go with, but as Carl mentioned, from down at Plantation High School, or Heritage High School, I should say, Tyson Campbell goes to Georgia. And then, as you said, a surprise out of Texas, Tommy Bush, a four-star wide receiver,
yep,
signs with the Dogs. So they're just knocking it out of the park. We talked a lot about how Clemson also closed pretty well. Miami did a nice job. Ohio State, all the usual suspects. But, I mean, it is what you expect, guys, the top 25. But it's the building blocks. And the big surprise, not maybe not a surprise, but it was certainly something you had to get done. That was Texas stepping it up for Tom Herman.
Tom did a great job this year finishing things out. Guys, he already had inroads into the state of Texas being at Houston. Obviously, he was an assistant coach years ago under Mac Brown. I think he had a lot of those inroads, and a lot of people were steering their kids that way. You know, he won the state. We say this. If Kirby wins Georgia every year, they're going to be top three because the talent pool is so deep here. You know, if you've got kids leaving the state that you should be getting. So if you win Texas, you're going to have a good recruiting class, and that's what happened.
Now, again, guys, you know, different services have their different grades. Some guys, like Rivals, gives it a little bit more juice to Georgia. Either way, Rivals has it ranked as 8 5-star players for Georgia. The Clemson Tigers get 6. You know, and why are you in the championship business? You know, Alabama, I mean, they had some different needs this year, but Alabama a little bit off based on what they've done in years past. But a guy that, you know, why did he get paid the big money to go to Penn State? Look at the job Coach Franklin is doing. Penn State gets 2 5-stars and 16 4-star players up there.
It is impressive. Just to put things in perspective for Georgia, you know, they've never had this many 5-stars in any one of their classes, okay? And, you know, a guy like Randy McMichael, go back and look at those teams that he played on and the guys they sent to the NFL. And even prior to that, guys, this is historic from the standpoint of bringing this kind of talent pool into the state of Georgia and into Athens. Now, what does Kirby do with it? That's the question. Let's hear from Coach Smart talking about what they were looking for as they went through the recruiting process.
13 of the 26 guys that we just signed, you know, played for a state championship. 25 of the 26 we just signed have been multi-sport athletes. So we're really excited. We look for those kind of qualities in our players, and we got a great academic class coming in. So there's a lot of good things mixed in this class.
Thanks to the SEC Network, Kirby was talking about today and National Signing Day. What about winning the state?
Kids in this state, they want to play for the University of Georgia if they know that the University of Georgia is going to have opportunities to win and play for championships. The momentum we built at the end of the season, going through the Georgia Tech and then into the Auburn SEC championship game and then playing in the Rose Bowl, I mean, the three most viewed games in all of college football involved Georgia last year. So I think that's really cool when you get that, and you got a lot of in-state kids who are excited about playing at the University of Georgia.
I mean, when you get that level of exposure in the semifinal and in the championship game, we talked about it, how Dabo got things cooking at Clemson.
Yep.
So it's a great time to be a Georgia Bulldog fan. And then, of course, as you mentioned, and you love to kind of stir it up. I know you're a pot stirrer. You and the Fields thing and Fromm.
I just think, you know, as much as we talked about Jim Chaney, okay, and he evolved. He did. He evolved, and you got playmakers involved. Sonny Michel, still like him to use Nod a little bit more. But that's neither here nor there. Right. He's going to continue to have those kind of playmakers around on this offense. And I simply ask the question, Fields is going to come in and challenge Fromm, not from the standpoint he's going to take the job, but he's going to make Fromm better. And are there certain situations, Mike, as you go through the spring and the offseason where you go, damn, Fields might get a little playing time? I'm asking.
Kirby was asked about it.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't think you have a lot of conversations. Obviously, throughout the recruitment of Justin Fields, we had that conversation. But Jake Fromm understands, just like we went out to go sign him to compete and find playing time, we're doing the same thing with Justin Fields. So these two young men are fiercer competitors as they are. I'm so excited about how much better they're going to make each other. Because what we've seen on our team and our roster is that we've improved each recruiting class. The competition on the field has been fierce. So that drives each guy to get better.
I don't know, man. Fields had his own soundtrack. That's pretty impressive.
Again, thanks to SEC Network. Yeah, listen, I don't know how this plays out, but guys, it's a win. I mean, this is not a situation where you're going, oh, this is a win. This is a win.
You sound like West Durham, right?
You know, I think that people get caught up in how this is going to hurt the program. It doesn't hurt. It helps. And by the way, if you don't believe me, ask Alabama how this thing might have to play out one day.
Because you got Hurts obviously struggling. They bring in Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah. Anyway, and it gets the win. So you've got to have the five stars backing up the five star. That's what the elite programs do. So Georgia fans, stop it already because they're already starting this stuff. There is no controversy, okay? Now, if Fields goes and throws for like 6 touchdowns in the spring game, you know, and Fromm doesn't, okay, then we'll have that conversation.
Fields is 24 for 24 in the spring
game. You and I were there on the sideline. Remember you and me on the sideline watching Jacob Eason? Like, oh, man, look at that ball come out. 93,000 on G-Day. Like, look at that. Oh, man, Eason throwing that. Whoosh.
Hey, by the way, I don't think there's any secret, and I know Kirby said it should be the goal every year, but I'm kind of amped up to go back and see G-Day and see some of these kids that are coming in here. How could you not be?
Now, Zeus, obviously, Zamir White coming off an injury. We talked about all the big linemen. Remember, you beefed up your O-line in one season. Think about it. Georgia went from a patchwork offensive line where you had to bring in, like, transfers to a national championship game, and you've only added more beef, like Jamari Sellier. I mean, you got more and more stars coming in. I mean, it's truly importing that Alabama business model, but now all you got to do is get to the top of the mountain.
All right, let's go around some of the other schools. Obviously, Georgia Tech, Mike, we talked a little bit about Tech today, and they've added two players as of noon today, guys. Again, some of this stuff still playing out, but most of it is done.
Georgia Tech rivals has them ranked at 53 after Iowa State and ahead of Boise State, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets with 3 4-star recruits.
Okay.
Bringing in 20 young men to the program. Also today, if you didn't see the video, it's kind of funny up in, or down, I should say, in the panhandle in Pensacola from Escambia. Jacob Copeland was about to decide where he was going to go to school. Now, his mom, Carl, interestingly enough, she had on like garb for both Alabama and Tennessee. She had a shirt for one school and a hat for the other. And then, well, then this happened, and we'll describe the visual in a second.
I like now that I'm taking my time so for the next 3 to 4 years.
Jacob, you're going to Florida. Who just got up and left there and to your right? Who got up and left?
Oh, that was my mom.
And why did she walk out and leave?
I don't know. I don't know exactly why she walked out, but yeah.
Oh, you know.
Damn.
You know. Now, I can say this because I had a black mother. And if you see this video, you will see the look on her face as if she told him before he sat down, boy, you know I like Tennessee, and you know I like Alabama. You better choose right. Now, real talk. Was she right? No. Mom,
you can't get up like that.
You got to support the decision. This is his life. This is his decision. But, guys, when I watched this video, I was crying because I've seen so many moms in my life look at their children like this. This young man's going to school. He's going on a 4-year scholarship. You should be proud of wherever he ends up going. But she is so ticked off, Mike, that he chose Florida over Alabama and Tennessee.
Remember it, guys? It was Alex Collins' mom down in South Florida
Landon Collins.
Landon Collins, Mom, say it. No, I thought it was Alex. But anyway, okay. it was running around with the letter of intent, and she got in the car, and they had to try to track her down.
Well, that was a different Collins. You're right.
Yeah, Alex, right. Alex Collins was like, his mom was like, yo, you ain't going there. She's literally, she absconds with a letter of intent so they can't fax it into the school.
I love the fact that Jacob Copeland, kid commits to Florida, that he kept it moving. I mean, there are people, other people supporting him around him. If you see the video, and I just tweeted it out a few minutes ago as well, he just keeps it moving. I mean, the kid didn't break down, but Mom, come on, Mom, don't get up and leave like that.
This reminded me of Landon Collins, currently of the New York Giants, the safety up there, who chose Alabama over LSU. And if you remember, his mother had a similar typeface and made the statement on air, LSU's still number one, baby. I don't think she's really disappointed now since he's an all-pro player with the Giants.
Oh, man.
It is. Listen, there is an element of humor in this, but it's kind of sad, man.
Look, you know, you want everybody on the same page. It is kind of strange how this – it tears family apart, National Signing Day Part 2. And the kid had an extra few weeks to figure this one out. Didn't sign on the line earlier.
He had tears in his eyes. You could see when his mom walked up. It was kind of cold, man.
I couldn't go with my mom. I wanted to go with my heart, he told reporters.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Go do you. Go see what you get.
But
get
she
done.
Did come back and give him a hug, though. She did come back in a couple minutes later and give him a hug.
Okay. So. Well, then where is that footage? I want to see that footage.
Well, that didn't make it. We were piping on about the mom
Craig,
walking
now
out.
You're making me feel bad. I'm going to. That's a loving mom to come back and hug
and
her
Dan
child.
Dan Mullen knows you got to have a good receiver core if you're going to do your thing like he did in years past when he was the OC up there. Meanwhile, Clemson gets the top wide receiver out of Alabama, Justin Rose from Phoenix City, So everybody just stepping up and getting all the usual suspects. I mean,
well, except LSU.
Yeah, LSU not cracking the top 10, AT, according to our buddies at Rivals.
That's okay. We're at number 11.
LSU's got you falling to 13
it's
right
be a
now.
Historic class. Okay.
Well, we still need to find a quarterback.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Well, no, listen, we always talk about LSU. LSU's another school that every year, if you win Louisiana, you should be in the top five.
It's in the water. They get off the bus. They look like they're going right to the NFL. Maybe you can get another guy from Indiana or Purdue to play quarterback.
Oh, Mike, stop. That's a great one.
Meanwhile, let's talk about the real winners today, Florida State University.
Who?
And that is Coach Taggart. Who? Coach Taggart. Coach Taggart.
Taggart.
Is this the man who lured Rosewood to a strip club? No, Coach Taggart gets the job done in the sense that he got him up to a top 10, and they were in the mid-20s in some of these rankings. Get 1-5 star, and they only have two quarterbacks. It gets some bad news. DeAndre Francois will not be able to participate in spring ball. The knee injury is not bouncing back, I guess, the way they thought it would.
Mm.
There's a kid from, and I forgot the name. I don't know his name off the top of my head, but I know they've got the redshirt quarterback is from Powder Springs, by the way, for FSU. So it would be String Bean Blackman, and then that kid's only two guys for spring football.
Georgia, though, is the winner. Georgia Bulldogs is the winner.
There can be only one.
Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, the U. Clemson, Oklahoma, USC, Florida State, Notre Dame rounding out the top 10, guys. That's what it looks like. Auburn's right outside.
Yep.
Alabama's right outside. LSU's right outside the top 10. I'm talking about Oregon, UCLA, Texas A&M. And by the way, A&M, credit to Jimbo. Like 2 weeks ago, they were in dire straits, that is, to sign a couple of players. They were in the late 20s, maybe early 30s, Mike. They're within the teens now. So Jimbo gets A&M and signs and closes a couple of deals.
All right, real quick, Carl, I have some fake recruiting news if you'd like to hear some of that.
I absolutely would.
All right, again, let me repeat, fake recruiting news before you start sending those texts in. Speaking of Texas A&M, Carl, from Muscle Shoals High School, OxyClean Patrick heading to College Station.
Wow.
Four-star dual-threat quarterback telling Aggies.net he connected with Jimbo Fisher. He adds to some real honesty and trust that he really feels with the coach.
Interesting. OxyClean, man.
Again, I don't name these kids, Carl. Jim Harbaugh's satellite camp in Croatia pays huge dividends.
Wait, did you say Croatia?
Yeah, he's all over the world. He's global. From Junius High School, defensive end Ubak Zyrtec signs with Michigan, Carl. Zyrtec tells the Split Banner Herald, quote, Wolverine, favorite X-Man.
I've heard he's a player, though, man.
True that. Also, guys, down at UCF, obviously they lose Coach Frost to Nebraska. Whiskey Tango Creek High School out of Orlando, Trevor Travers signs with the Knights over the Gators. Deciding factor?
What?
UCF's accounting for strippers 101. Mm. Means his high school sweetheart, Tiffany, is along for the ride. Again, those are fake recruiting news. Fake recruiting news. Arthur didn't smile once. That could be the end of fake recruiting news.
Hey, man, we're going to continue to talk about what the Dogs have done today.
One last one for you, Carl. Texas beefs up the defense.
Who we get?
Longhorns get a commitment from Chuck Norris High School out of Plano. It's going to be linebacker Dirk Doornacker.
Oh, Doornacker.
He led the entire state of Texas with 9 tackles.
Okay, that's
Coach Herman says he's a perfect fit for that rugged Big 12.
Okay, that's not funny. You're always making fun about nobody playing defense.
Who disabled a non-mark unit with a banana? Who lured Taggett and Rosemont into a gross dereliction of duty? Is this the gentleman who ruined the buffet at the Harrow Club this morning?
It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, coming up at 5, we'll talk about the Falcons. We'll hear what Arthur Blank had to say. He tells Vaughn McClure from ESPN, the Falcons are close. How close are we? We'll get into that. Plenty more on National Signing Day, and Mike Conte will join us as well. Hey, real quick, and then we'll get back into some of the things we're talking about today. But are you going to go see this Black Panther movie? I know you're not a big Marvel fan, as I am.
You know, I didn't see the Avengers last couple. Last thing I've seen was Guardians of the Galaxy.
I like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm just not the comic book guy. Now, I'll watch them. But, I mean, unfortunately, the Superman Batman has scared me away from all of this genre.
Terrible.
Because it's that bad.
Yeah.
You know, DC. Wonder Woman I saw when it was on HBO.
It was good.
We watched it on pay-per-view. But
it was good. Yeah, no, I only bring it up. AT asked me this, and I'm a big Marvel fan. You know that, but...
Definitely. It's getting great reviews, right?
It is. I'm going to go see this. AT was asking me, he said, did you get tickets to go? I think it opens up next weekend. Yeah, next weekend.
And we got tickets, right?
Well, I hope.
I mean, we're giving away tickets. Yes, man?
Yes, I think we are doing Frickin' Hugh from 6 to 10. But, yeah, it's getting great reviews, man. And I'm curious to see how well this is received. This is the most high-profile black movie superhero yet, Mike. And, you know, again... this is one of those movies where you go, all right, we're going to do this. How do you do it? How do you put it out there? And everybody's talking about Wonder Woman. They did a great job with that. I'm curious to see what they do with Black Panther.
Everybody's saying the same thing. It's like, I know we talk about this all the time when it comes down to it. Marvel gets it.
They do.
DC doesn't. I mean, they just really DC. And this is also, Black Panther a Marvel property or a DC?
It's Marvel.
Okay, yep. There you go. They seem to have better scripts, good use of humor, right? I mean, just better storytelling. And just more interesting and likable characters. I mean, nobody likes Ben Affleck as Batman. Let's call a spade a spade.
I thought it was bad casting. I really did. And then when they told me how dark it was, I never saw that. Remember, I was all amped up about going, right. And then I was like, I'm not going to go see it. So
the only time Ben Affleck's ever been believable is Gone Girl, because he plays himself. And then there's the...
The Town? Did you ever see The Town?
Yeah, you know.
He plays himself in that movie, too, because it's in Boston.
Yeah. But, you know, the one with when they have they get the four hostages out. They'd escaped the embassy.
It was Academy Award acclaimed.
Argo.
Yes.
Yeah, that's about it. So there you go. There's the three Ben Affleck movies that you could say are pretty good.
No doubt. I'm with you, man. We'll see what happens, but I only bring that up to say there are movies you anticipate, and you're like, okay, there's some buzz about it.
Who plays Black Panther?
Chadwick Boseman.
Okay. Yep.
Along with Michael B. Jordan.
Yep. Who's playing in Creed 2. They're already shooting Creed 2. Creed was good. That was, if you didn't see it or you're a Rocky fan, it was really good. But they're already in, I think, production of Creed 2 that they're making. All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell. You can hit us up, 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to jump in, follow us on social media and Twitter as well. And find us on the gram and follow the show, guys, Dukes and Bell.
Now, we mentioned, guys, we'll talk about what Arthur had to say with the Falcons coming up in the Falcon Report. A couple guys on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line saying that, hey, man, Georgia is doing what Kirby is paid to do. They're excited. But, again, we got the usual naysayers. Look, guys, if you're not from the Southeast and you move to Atlanta or you move from the Northeast, there's a natural sort of pushback about the hype around college recruiting. It is the building block, and there's a reason why, we said it earlier, there's a reason why, Carl, the top 25 teams, for the most part, and the guys that move into the top 25, are in the top 25 because they're in the top 25 when it comes to recruiting. Can't do it without the building blocks. You know, and when you, and again, whatever these guys do in the NFL has nothing to do with recruiting. No. We're talking about you guys getting me to a championship, whatever your alma mater is.
Yeah, and I love the idea when you say, guys, listen, all these coaches are paid to bring in great recruiting classes, but what differentiates, you know, one program from another? And I'm telling you, guys in college, and we just had this conversation in the bullpen. Herm Edwards, who is a friend of the show, and we had him on a few weeks back, and I asked him in a very serious way, you know, what makes you want to go back to college? In the NFL, head coaches have a lot, you know, they get to choose the players. And Herm came out and said, well, that's the thing about college is the players choose you. There's something to be said about having this thing, this it, with college recruiting and connecting with young people. And, Mike, you said it. We're talking about 17, 18-year-old guys.
Right.
determining your future, really. And that's why when you see some of these videos where kids are taking off one hat and throwing another or changing shirts, you're going, damn, because they've invested so much time in trying to get this young man to buy into their program.
Look, and we talked about this. I don't want to sound like the old guy. You know, I mean, yes, it's the only chance kids got to do this. And, you know, if the kid, you know, makes the grade, stays healthy and is good, then maybe, you know, you do get to that. You'll be the point, what, 0.05% of the guys who are going to make it to the NFL. But, I mean, I just think sometimes with parents, take maybe a little more leadership on that. Because grown men whose lives and their salaries depend on this and keeping food on the table for their kids, you know, comes down to what school that kid's going to. And to do the whole, like, you know, shell game with the hats. We had one kid today. Boom, he does, like, the tearaways.
Yes, the breakaway pants.
Georgia. I mean, hey, as long as he's coming to your school. But I do think sometimes it gets a little over the top.
But wouldn't you two have done that if you were that 17- or 18-year-old kid who couldn't tell you nothing back then?
My old man would squash that. My old man would have said no to that one.
Yeah, and I didn't. I mean, first of all, it wasn't an event like this.
Yeah, you got to go back. There was no mass media, no social media.
You were lucky to sign in your high school gym with your parents and a couple of friends there to see it. Who, by the way, probably should have been in class. I mean, you might have signed it
on your kitchen table.
Right. That's what we're talking about. I mean, this became an event as we got into, you know, the mid '90s, and it just grew and grew. And now you've got these televised events where, you know, it's a spectacle, and kids are looking to make a splash with the next big thing. Right? I'm going to bring a puppy out here. I'm going to fly in a hot air balloon.
The one kid from Texas, the wide receiver, had his niece, his little Georgia onesie.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's cute. Now, that's cute. Nothing wrong with that. Real quick, you mentioned our man, Herm Edwards. And, I mean, God bless Herb. I don't know what the hell he's doing getting back in this racket. But Herb, 71 Arizona State is rated by Rivals.
Mm.
And two four-star recruits. They are behind Western Michigan and ahead of Marshall.
Yeah. Listen, it's tough to get back, especially when you've been out of it. And I think Herm Edwards is a great, you know, positive role model for young people. There's no doubt about that. But it's tough to get back and be able to recruit Mike. And my point about Kirby and the comment to our listener who said, he's getting paid to do this. What made Kirby so special this year that it seems like this is going to be the best, potentially the best recruiting class in the history of Georgia?
Right.
Mark Richt was good, guys. What made it so different for Kirby this year versus all these other great recruiting classes that we've talked about, but this one is historic? Why?
You plugged a young offensive line together. Let's be honest, guys. A lot of young faces on that offensive line. Now, granted, you had some upperclassmen stick around on defense, and that was a huge, huge boost. And the fact that Sony Michel and Nick Chubb stick around and Fromm was a leader. But there's also the coaching, attention to detail. Unfortunately, some things did crop up in the second half against Alabama in the national championship game. But all the things that you need to be that to be at that elite level. That's the problem with Mark Richt. These guys always went on to do great things in the NFL, but you could always go, well, why weren't they doing that between the hedges over the years? That's what, as a Georgia fan, I don't think you should give a flip what these guys do in the NFL. You know, it's about what they do for you. Like Isaiah Wynn, you could argue, is part of kind of an underachieving team, really stepped up in his final year, and now can maybe bankroll that to a nice job in the NFL.
Man, I just think that connection, whatever it is, that, and some coaches have it more than others. And, you know, we talked to, who was it, Coach Muschamp at South Carolina, and we were talking to him about recruiting. And he's like, oh, I can sell ice to an Eskimo. Okay. All right, Coach. You know, you may be that guy, but there also has to be something else that sells the program. And I just think this, I don't even know if Kirby can explain it. I said this when we started the show. I really think a lot of these kids who talk now with social media and our friends, and whether they played together or not, or they're at 7-on-7, this just became an avalanche where you're seeing all these kids, and you're like, damn, what's going on at Georgia? And then you talk to one of your boys, you're like, man, we're doing something down there. Really? Okay, man, what's that position look like? I don't know. You need to talk to coach. All right, I'm thinking about coming. And the next thing you know, you got one, two, and everybody's jumping in. That's what I think. Kirby didn't do anything that he didn't do last year.
It is something to see, though, because, you know, when you and I, Carl, got together in 14 to do this show, since our fourth, we just wrapped up our fourth football season together, this is where, in the minds of some Georgia fans, and I think more need to felt this way in the past, where Georgia should be. Now, again, unfortunately, it didn't pan out. You could also argue they were actually a year ahead of schedule. But, you can't let that opportunity slip through your fingers. By the way, a couple of guys hitting us up saying, what's up with Georgia State? I mean, again, different type programs. They're building it up down there, but they got a 94 ranking to Georgia State, 5 3-star recruits, no 5, no 4, behind Navy, behind Brigham Young. So in case you're wondering, for Georgia State locally,
they signed 9 players today, bringing their total for the year to 26.
Good deal. And I think that's how many Georgia signed. And again, guys, you know, that's all based on how many scholarships available. So some schools signed 22, some signed 26. It just kind of depends. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. We're going to get into what's going on real quick in the NBA when we come back, because the Hawks say they're going to make a couple of deals. We're not sure what that means.
What did I do to an
anybody to be a trade.
Okay,
I'm a good Bellinelli. Why are you going to move me out? I'm having a good time.
He is. But he is.
Why don't you trade a shooter? He's a Stu Knott.
Okay, you want the real truth? We're trying to get the ping pong balls.
Okay.
Bellinelli is going to be traded. He's already been told. Where is he going? And then with LeBron coming to town on Friday, what in the world is going on with the Cavaliers? Isaiah Thomas saying some interesting things that we're going to let you hear coming up, man, including how much they don't trust each other.
Boy, oh boy, man. I mean, Derrick Rose goes off for vacation, gets married, it's all good. Kevin Love has like a cough for 2 days. They all hate his guts.
He's a loser.
It's a soap opera over there, man.
Drama.
You know, Tyronn Lue, boy, oh boy. Here's the question. LeBron's saying all the right things, but we'll get into it because a lot of people still not buying LeBron, not moving on from the mistake by the lake.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll play that LeBron cut where he says, I would not waive my no trade because I'm committed to these guys. And then he clarifies by saying this year. We'll let you hear.
I am in this marriage for life. Well, at least for the next year.
We'll let you hear it all. And by the way, episode 3 of the Duke's Dump is out. Go to Facebook, check it out, man, and tell your friends about it. Go watch it. I think you'll enjoy it.
Wave your no trade clause at fast.
No. Listen, I'm here for the long haul. You know, I'm here for this season right now to try to, you know, figure out ways we can still compete. Now, I couldn't give up on my teammates like that. I just couldn't do it. We put too much into the game, you know, every single day. We go out and prepare, even though win, lose, or draw. At the end of the day, we all brothers, and we understand that. So, you know, I owe it to my teammates to finish the season out, no matter how it ends up. So, no, I would never waive my no-trade clause.
You should waive your no-trade, LeBron. It is Dukes and Bell. That was him after the game. They lost to a terrible Orlando team last night, Mike. They're up like 18. I flip back on, they lost by like 14. Either way, that is a legitimate question. I know some people are like, what? Listen, you're leaving at the end of the year anyway. If you're Cleveland, right, why not try to move this guy?
I mean, if you're Dan Gilbert, I think you really got to – you want to get something? You want to get nothing. You know? I mean, I love it. The only thing he didn't say is my commitment, my foundation to this town, to this this team is about as strong as a single wide in a tornado. I mean, come on, man. We know where you're going. But, hey, the question is – where you want to go with Lakers don't want you. I don't buy that. I still don't buy what the Lakers are saying. I know there's a lot of star power. We talked about it in the 2019 free agency class for the NBA, but how could you not want to get in the mix with LeBron and bring him to LA? He's got, you know, everyone thinks because he's got a place in LA that's a logical fit, but why not?
No, I don't know where he ultimately ends up. I just think, you know, as the season plays out, and they're not playing great basketball. As a matter of fact, let's hear from Isaiah Thomas. The rumors are out there, guys. I don't start them. I just talk about them once they're out. Not only is there their chemistry issues, there's dysfunction. I mean, it's one thing, Mike, especially in a team game, if, you know, well, I should have hit you with that pass earlier. It's another thing when we don't talk after games and I don't like you. That's a problem.
I mean, when did Kevin Love's like Jay Cutler now all of a sudden, like smoking Kevin Love? You know, everybody hates this. Everyone hates Kevin.
Here's Isaiah Thomas talking about we've got to trust each other, especially defensively. They suck.
Trust is from being out there in the battle together and knowing, okay, if I get beat, the next guy got me, and then the next guy's helping up, somebody else got him on the backside. We don't have that at all on that end of the floor.
By the way, they come to town Friday. Cavs taking on the Hawks. Just right, a little tidbit there. Isaiah Thomas went on to say, don't know the last time that we dove for a loose ball. Basically, just the hustle. You saw him get out-efforted last night.
I don't know the last time we got on the floor for a loose ball. And I know that the teams I've been on have been like, defense is determined on deflections, steals, loose balls, who's the hardest working team on that end. We don't have that right now.
All right, last one for me, real quick. He talks about adversity, and this tells me everything I need to know, Mike. When you have adversity within a team atmosphere, mm-hmm, you either come together or you go apart. If you go apart, you're seeing what's happening with the Cavs. Listen to what he says.
We, as players, we gotta do better. I mean, when they start to go on their runs, which teams is going to do each and every game, we got to come together. And it's like right now, when we hit adversity, we go our separate ways.
Hmm. And you wrapped it up with, we all we got.
We all we need.
CMB. Calf Money Brothers. I mean, that's a New Jack City reference.
I wish they did do
man,
that.
Man,
they might win.
I don't know what to make of it. What does Coach LeBron, I mean, Coach Lou think of all this?
You know, Coach LeBron, I mean, Lou does say that they will be a playoff team, by the way.
Really? I mean, you got all that's the power. You got all the star power.
But that's how you're answering questions now? Yeah. Coach Lou, how do you fix this? I don't know, but we're going to be a playoff team.
I mean, did J.R. Smith lose his mojo? Is he is this bad J.R. this year? Arthur, is that what it is? Partly the bench has kind of been funky, too.
Yeah, he's not playing well. Shumpert's been hurt. I don't know if he's back yet. But here's the thing, guys.
Crowd is a bust.
Tonight, they're on national TV again on ESPN. Their record on nationally televised games this year, 0-8.
Who are they playing tonight?
Minnesota.
I have no interest.
You don't want to see Towns in action? You don't want to see our man?
No, I'm joking. I do. I think Minnesota LeBron, might run him.
Remember earlier in the week, LeBron was saying, we should never be on national television again. Right? Adam Silver's like, hello? I mean, could you do your jobs, man, for crying out loud. I mean, look, once the All-Star break hits, find the gear. I mean, you probably laugh. We'll laugh about this in a month's time.
Darryl Walker wouldn't have said this earlier when he was on with us, even though he says he doesn't watch many NBA games. Right. But I know he, as well as a lot of the old heads, think of these guys as the biggest divas around
yeah,
nowadays.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Bernard King played with hands taped together, his fingers, his knees were shot. I mean, you know, that's the thing. We had a coach on from Clark Atlantic taking on Morehouse, by the way, on Thursday.
Go check it out. It's on the website, by the way.
I grew up a Knicks fan as a kid, so it's kind of cool to talk. I mean, Bernard, who's your guys? I'm going to do that for the game winner. Because
who's your guy?
Like, Tom Seaver was my guy in baseball. Mm. Bernard King was my favorite Nick as a kid growing up because he just was tough, man. And I got to see him at the end with the bullets not much left in the tank. But who's your guy? Who's your go-to guy? Were you Astros or Rangers?
Yeah, Jose Cruz. Mm. I loved Jose Cruz. Obviously,
I'll write this down before I forget.
No, it's a good one. And then as far as hoops is concerned, you know, I'm a George Gervin man. I'm a nice man. Gervin was cool, man, and he had the coolest poster back in the late 70s, early 80s, sitting on huge blocks of ice. And his nickname was the Iceman, and he could just flat out score. Mm. And so he was one of my guys. But, yeah, man, I mean, we all had those guys that we watched, and you said it, that we kind of, you know, looked at and went, man, when that guy's playing, I want to see him. Right. But here's the other part real quick about the NBA, and then we're going to get to some NFL conversation, guys. Falcon Report's coming your way, including what Arthur Blank had to say about our football team. Last night was the first time all season that I found myself watching a game from basically start to finish. I turned it off about 5 minutes to play because it was a 25-point blowout. Mm-hmm. But the Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder played last night in Golden State. And the TNT does this thing, and you may be familiar with it, AT, but they do this players-only thing where they have, you know, there's not regular broadcasters there, play-by-play guys. It's basically players that played in the league. I think it was Greg Anthony last night.
Greg Anthony, Reggie Miller. Ugh.
And Chris Webber.
No, Chris Webber was in the studio.
Okay, and who was the third guy?
Ernie was not in there.
Rip Hamilton.
Okay, right. So they're doing the game, and basically, you know, they're chopping it up and talking about playoff rivalries. Here's the point I don't want to make. Last night was the first time that I felt like I was watching some old school NBA. The refs mm-hmm. allowed them to play. There were hard fouls. Draymond's lip is all busted up. He's cussing and fronting on, you know, on the referee. He gets thrown out. But I'm like, if this is how the playoffs are going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun this year. Right. I don't know if it will be, but the Thunder, they're going to be a hard out. They are going to be a hard out in the Western Conference. Do not think for 1 minute that Golden State's just going to, you know, sweep them.
Now, we saw Durant take a jump shot with Russell defending. We didn't get to see the dunk situation because Durant got tripped?
No. Which trip are you talking about? You talking about the fake Russell trip or are you talking about the
Yeah, that was a ghost trip.
Yeah, that did not happen.
And so, again, I don't want to be sexist, but it was brought up earlier off the air. There was a certain
female referee.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what she was
She lives here in Atlanta, ironically enough, guys. She's married to another NBA rep. Her name is Lauren Holtkamp.
I thought she did a great job.
Man, you nuts.
I thought she did a terrific job. I thought she was just a terrific job.
You're such a hater.
She called the foul on a guy who wasn't even
a terrific job.
It wasn't even in the zip code they called it.
What was the number last night, Craig? What was the spread?
Hey, I told you to take the Thunder for other reasons.
Already, she did a wonderful job. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Hey, man, it is Dukes and
Bell. You know what? I know they can't do interviews. Wouldn't that be funny? We have like an officiated round table. We get Jerome Boger in here.
Be awesome.
The ladies man official lives right here in Atlanta.
She did warn your boy Draymond, though. She said, get out of my face. He's right. Fussing. Get out of my face.
Yeah, because he's saying, how am I bleeding right now and you haven't called anything?
Get out of my face. That was inadvertent. Get out of my face.
And by the way, Craig, you're too close to it. You're Golden State.
You know,
rooting for the Golden State Warriors. Oh, my God, how hard. It really, truly is like watching. It's like rooting for the Globetrotters. You know, when they would come by.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, who's going to win this game against the Washington Generals?
Because
a load of poop.
They're like the Yankees. They've been good this whole time, this whole career.
You know, yes. Cry me a river.
Well, what are you Golden telling me? You cried every time the Generals lost?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.